This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Hello and welcome to Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car? This millennial's guide to the meal skipping, gymnastics flipping, Kimmy Gibbler's dripping, very special episodes of yesteryear. I am Jay McCain. With me is Aaron Hubbard. How you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing great. I can't believe we're here at the Full House edition of a very special season of Mr. Feeny.
Yeah, this show was just a spoiler a little bit harder to watch for me than some of the other ones. This was a toughie.
Yeah, you took a artistic hairpin turn. We went from binging Shogun, one of the best shows of the last 5 years, to this crap.
Yeah.
And since it's a very special episode, it by definition can't be a great episode of the thing. Not that this show was ever good, but man, I feel like I've said this before, but the absolute lock that this show and the entire TGIF lineup on ABC had on my family, and this was like, I feel like when I think back into my past, I feel like my family had a golden age from like when the time I was like 8 to just on the cusp of being a teenager, and then I started going through puberty and doing stuff that my mom didn't like. We as a family unit would watch we'd like order pizza and watch the entire TGIF block. Full House, Family Matters, I can't remember the others. I know there was a bunch. Oh, Perfect Strangers, I think, was in there, too. So I really like this show. This was pretty nostalgic with the theme song and everything. But I gotta say, this episode's kind of crap. Like, even by very special episode status, this is, like, just the dipping the toe into anorexic, bulimic waters and fixing it all with the two-minute...
Yes.
Pablum. Is that how you say it? Pablum? I just
don't know.
The worst kind of Danny Tanner fucking monologue. So, yeah.
It was very soft in its approach to this very sensitive subject.
Yeah. What's kind of... Do you know anything about Full House by like reputation or...
I would watch it. I would watch that TGIF block too. I guess I don't know that much about the lore, besides it's three dudes who I thought were brothers. I did look at the Wikipedia today, not brothers, brother-in-law, dude and dude's friend, dude being Danny Tanner, raising three girls in San Francisco.
Yeah. This is a wild premise. I don't know what was going on in like the 80s where like Three Men and a Baby, Full House, I guess they continued into the 90s and aughts with Two and a Half Men, but the fascination of like a band of brothers raising children on their own in the absence of a woman just really gripped the public. And Mr. Mom, I guess, you know, if you go back to Michael Keaton, that fish out of water, you know.
Imagine if men raised kids.
Yes. Can you believe it? And then Danny Tanner couldn't. He had to get two other guys. It takes three men to equal one woman.
That's the progress we've made. Is we've gone from three men to the two and a half men. So at that point, it only took two.
Yeah. The wage gap is closing, but still, it's kind of crazy. It is a wild premise, though. Like, can you imagine? I don't know if you have a brother-in-law, but you can imagine like your brother-in-law calling and be like, hey, your sister died. I'm going to have you move in with me. And oh, by the way, grab Eric. Grab Eric for personal arrogance and just help me raise these children, man. I'm in a bad spot here.
I think it would be laughs galore. It would be it would be nothing but uproarious laughter. And soft tender moments.
Which of you would date Rebecca Romijn, and which of you would break Alanis Morissette's heart?
Oh, Both would be Geordi, actually.
Oh, so it's not even, you're introducing a new cast member, fan favorite. Geordi always comes in the front door, crowd goes wild.
Yeah, yeah.
The home audience goes wild, big reaction, fan favorite. Yeah, I don't know what much more to say. Like, this is just, I remember, and it's funny because I even remembered individual lines from this show. So I don't know how many times I've watched these episodes. I just remember, you know, if you're a kid and you don't know, television used to be televised, and they would have seasons of 20 to 24 episodes. And then when it would go off the air, frequently you would have reruns. Like, you know, Full House right. would always be on Friday night. So when all the new episodes are gone, they would just start throwing reruns at you. If whether you saw it and you liked it, what are you going to do? Watch something on one of the other two channels? No, because the other two channels are showing some kind of cop procedural
and MASH.
some kind of news magazine report or something. It's like, if you want family entertainment, you got the one channel, TGIF.
Yeah, so, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous is on, and yeah, you don't want to see the inside of.
Like, there was like 4 or 5 years where like my family would just sit and watch television on Friday night, and then I got a driver's license, and that was that. So
wow. What a shame.
These are the glory years. I also looked up and that this show was like insanely popular throughout its run. Like, it was getting anywhere between 15 to 13 million during its entire 8-season run. And it left with still 12.5 million people watching, down from a high of 17.4 in season 5. So like, yeah, it's wild how fucking popular this thing was. And even then, that's the other crazy thing is, like, looking at these insane, by modern day standards, viewing numbers, and the highest it ever rated in terms of weekly television was 8th. The 17.4 million was only good enough for an 8th back then.
Oh, that's compared crazy. I don't understand, like, TV numbers well enough.
Yeah, like House of the Dragon last year was getting 10, and that's considered like crazy good numbers. So you've got 10 million households watching, and but yeah, back in the day, man, they had like Seinfeld was pulling like something like 30, 35.
Crazy. Wow.
Is there anything else we want to say about this fucking show before we get into the outline?
I don't think so. Let's get it over with. This was rough. Rough sledding for old Jay McCain.
So we got the credit. I'm just going to deal with the credit sequence now. Iconic, great song. Great, just your classic cheesy 90s sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
Little slice of life of all the characters. Showing them when they're young, because we're into season, I think, 4 now. So Candace Cameron is like 12 years old when she started. She's 16 now. And the Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, I don't know, they must have been like fucking babies when
right.
they started, because like they're just still in a toddler, or I don't know, maybe they gave them growth retarding hormones.
Probably.
And they were able to skirt them, since there was two of them, they were able to just give half a dose to each, so it's like, you know, wasn't quite like a lethal dose. did you know that for like the first half of this show's run, that no one even knew that was a twin? That they were billed as Mary-Kate Ashley Olsen.
Yeah, I just read that today, that it was like some big secret at first.
Why the hell would you do that? Like, why would you want to be like, no, we are working this child full adult actor hours. There's no concession to them being infants.
Can't break the illusion, man.
Anyway, she had her catchphrase, "You got it, dude." The opening scene here, Uncle Jesse gives Michelle some cereal she's been asking for. This is like a really oh my god, there, yeah, she was a baby. I was looking at the credits Jesse's showing. There's some hilarity. It's not really. It's like
she asked for a certain type of cereal and it's like Fiber Bears. But like, should you be giving a child fiber cereal?
I was going to ask that too. It's like, So, like, you can't just give her apparently Sugar Smack or whatever the hell the cereal is. I think there isn't that a cereal called, isn't a Sugar Smack actually? That sounds like a drug. It sounds like black tar sugar. We seized 5.7 tons of black tar Sugar Smack coming out of straight Colombian Sugar Smack. But, like, I feel like they're, like, they can't show a real cereal, and they can't show something that looks like it's just, like, a worthless cereal. So they'll just put fiber in it so, like, the health-conscious parents won't get too mad.
But, right.
Yeah, you don't, I don't think you give a baby super high-fiber diet.
No, no, they'll be way too regular for a child.
Yeah, they get all bound up, man. But most of the adorable action of this girl is just her being a shit.
A real piece of work.
She wakes up Uncle Jesse, so he'll give her her favorite cereal, which he does, and then she just upends the whole bag and gets the toy, which that's another thing you kids probably don't know. They used to put whole ass toys in cereal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now you're lucky to get, like, what? Do they do anything? You get, like, a maze on the back? Can you cut a UPC and get a download code for a dollar off PSN or something?
You can get Dogecoin. I remember the best thing I ever got out of a cereal box was Chex Quest, the, like, Doom ripoff first-person shooter that was set in the Chex universe.
I remember when they realized, oh, we can throw a CD in here for, like, 5 cents, and, you know, we don't have to pay 5 cents for the we're going to have to pay 10 cents to China for the stupid plastic toy.
Yeah, it was legit.
I don't remember any of the toys I got out of cereal boxes. The one thing I do remember that's burnt in my mind is when Captain Crunch went missing, and they built in a pair of, like, red glasses into the back of the box you could cut out, and then you could use those glasses to look at boxes to decipher clues, and it was this, like, whole fucking thing. Like, the whole neighborhood, we were like in Ralphie and the Christmas Story, when he's, like, doing the little Annie, little Orphan Annie decoder ring shit. That's how every kid in our block, we're, like, trying to crack the case of what is the captain.
Didn't at one point, I think it was Captain Crunch, release a whistle that you could use to, like, hack long-distance telephone signals with? Like, you could whistle into your phone.
You have to ask Mr. 2600 Jim Jones about that. But, yeah, I hear that, yeah, you could whistle some free long distance back in the day.
Now, that's a heck of a toy.
Anyway, the audience just eats it up when she's being a little shit. They just, like, cheers.
Just grown-ass people rolling in the aisles laughing at the antics of did I do that kind of a catchphrase from a toddler.
Dude, God, it's like, yeah, to Family Matters, did I do that? The fact that, like, you could have a character who that's what he did, man. That was just, he just came on and went, yeah, did I do that? And everyone was, like, pissed themselves laughing for years. I feel like Bob Saget and John Stamos were, like, patrolling the aisles with cattle prods, just like, you better fucking laugh, you better, like, I louder, you know, hoot. There's some people hooting in this audience.
Yeah, I hear hooting. I don't hear any hollering.
That's right.
I want hooting and hollering. Thank you.
We need an equal mix of hooting and hollering, or the I don't know, the polymer doesn't bond. Upstairs in DJ's bedroom, Stephanie plays some music for her sister before fan favorite Kimmy Gibbler comes in to invite DJ to her surprise birthday party.
Fan favorite, fan in quotations, yeah. Yeah, much like in the the clarinet being played in an earlier episode.
Yeah, that's another thing that's gripping the nation. Little sisters terrorizing you with their music class. This is some old bald and a very obscure bald move lore, but true fans will know for a long time I've had, since I was the age I grew up, I found out that me and Kimmy Gibbler are the exact same age. I had a torrid crush on Kimmy Gibbler.
Yeah, I can see it.
Tall, brunette, weird girls are my kryptonite. And she was straight from the planet Krypton, that pure uncut green glowing shit. I found that is an abhorrent opinion to people, and I'm not sure why. I'm not sure why Kimmy Gibbler is seen as gross. She's definitely coded as weird, but, like, I was like, you know, I haven't seen a show in 20 years. I was like, well, maybe she's, like, just, like, way uglier than I remember. I think Kimmy Gibbler, I'll say it, full chest, 10 toes planted, Kimmy Gibbler, attractive.
Fair enough. I Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue with you on this.
Can you tell me as a late 30s man whether you find this 15-year-old girl attractive, Jesse?
I could understand if you were the exact same age as her back in the day. Like, yeah, why not?
Yeah. I mean, the clothes are a bit much, but you should see my yearbook photos. My mom's dressing me out of... Because my mom would just dress me out of, like, Goodwill.
Right.
Know?
Yeah, her
plenty
first...
room in the crotch.
Her first outfit, it looks like she's wearing, like, the carpet you would see at a movie theater.
But as, like...
And a fanny pack.
And it's all bicycle pants, though? Like, it's, like, bicycle pants, but it's like a three-quarters wetsuit, but made out of spandex.
Yes. A heck
and
of
however,
a fit.
If you're driving to your commute and you're sitting in your car, you're on the bus or you're eating lunch at whatever loud pattern you're thinking in your head of us describing, increase its loudness by another 50 decibels because it's crazy. It's like the wallpaper you find in a Dayglow indoor mini golf. that's what she's giving. But yeah, she's in here to invite her to her surprise birthday party, and that's the joke. Kimmy Gibbler, so dumb, she invites people to her own surprise birthday party.
Mm-hmm. And she practices her own surprise face.
Yeah, which I thought was super cute. There's one finely crafted joke in this whole episode. It's not that finely crafted. It's not crudely wood, you know, whittled out of some soft pine. It is when DJ turns her nose up at her sister's recorder lesson, which is this shitty rendition of On Top of Old Smokey, where she just can't hit the last note. She goes, well, this happens to be my homework for music appreciation. And DJ hit her with, well, when it happens to be music, I'll appreciate it. That's a good yoke. That's a good yoke.
There was exactly one joke that did it for me in this episode. I'll let you know when it comes up.
Okay,
that'll be a fun little surprise.
The other thing, other coded weird things that Kimmy has is she has a brother named Garth, and this is before Brooks made the name famous. And apparently he works security at a swanky hotel, and he's going to sneak these teenage girls into their hotel pool so they can have a pool party.
Right.
Which sets up the tension of this episode, since it's in November. It's out of bathing suit season in San Francisco, apparently, and DJ's worrying about her beach body.
Right. That is going to be the whole driving factor of this episode.
And she's like, you know, Kimmy's of no moral support because Kimmy is rail thin. And
right.
DJ throws her, she throws her cookies away. And she goes, well, I do waist spins to work out. And she demonstrates by. Is this a play on trash can? She's literally bending over into waist.
No, that's too funny.
Okay. Because I was like, is that clever or is it? And then she retrieves the cookies. She was like, watch what I eat. And she studies the cookie and then she eats the cookie.
Waist.
She's one of those people that just
like the waste basket. Yeah.
Skinny, no matter how much she eats.
I don't think they were going for that joke, but I dig it. I think you punched up the script.
Kimmy Gibbler eating a trash cookie. Okay. It's another. Maybe that's a little too weird, but you know, it's just 5 second rule.
The
very, very 90s George Michael's poster hanging up in DJ's bed, right over a bed.
Is that the guy with the eye patch?
That's the guy who plays Faith. You know, he's just a really sexy guy. Turned out to be gay. He's a huge heartthrob. And DJ Tanner's got a gay dead man hanging over bed.
Oh, he's wearing sunglasses, not an eye patch.
Oh, you thought he was wearing an eye patch. I got it.
I thought it was an eye patch. I was like, who is that? Solid Snake? Anyway.
This dude, fucking so hot back then. And he did, man, I tell you what, he made some, that Freedom video. Whoo. I still remember the first time I saw that. Anyway, back down in the kitchen, DJ's hanging up what I think is called Thinspiration in the anorexic community. Pictures of supermodels and bathing suits and whatnot, so she can remind herself not to eat when she goes to the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
When Uncle Jesse comes in with wedding cake to taste. Apparently him and Becky are getting married this season. She's being promoted to the main cast in season 5.
Yeah, right. She started off as a co-host for Danny Tanner's character, right?
Yeah, he's like a sports journalist or something, if I remember right. Like, Jesse's the rocker, Joey is the comedian, and I think Danny does sports. I wasn't sure if he's a columnist or if he's on TV, but Aunt Becky, also super hot.
Very attractive. I remember
having,
yes,
like, adult woman crush on her when I was a little boy. We'll be back to talk more about why is Mr. Feeny a car after this quick break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now we're back with more. Why is Mr. Feeny a car? But yeah, this is the first kind of like test for DJ that everybody's like, yeah, come on, get some cake. And she's like, I've got my water popsicle. She's made for a snack a bunch of, that's what it is. You know how like when you're a kid, you had a rainy day, your mom would be like, oh, let's make some fruit pops. And you'd pour like Kool-Aid into an ice tray. Did everyone do this?
Yes.
And you stick like toothpicks in it and you put the plastic wrap over so the toothpicks won't collapse and you just make yourself a fruit pop. Well, she did that, except for using fruit juice or Kool-Aid, she just uses water.
Yeah.
And, this is some deep. This should have been the first warning that something
I was gonna say, warning sign number one right there. Eating your child is eating ice cubes as a snack. That's not good.
So then there is another instance of this child being just a complete shit, and she jumps up on the table and she just grubs through the cake, just puts her full face in it, gets all of her jammy 3-year-old hands in there. I hope you didn't want to taste any of those varieties of chocolate cake
right
for the wedding, because it's just it's terrible. And then when they ask her which one she liked best, she just says chocolate, which that's I guess the joke. There's like 30 different types of chocolate nowadays, and
you know how there's all these different types of chocolates these days. But this is definitely behavior that would not be funny in real life. You'd be like, we actually needed to taste those for our wedding planning, and now they've all been destroyed by the child.
I wonder if they taught the kid to stage eat. Like, hey, you just want to kind of glom into it, but you don't want to actually eat it. Or did they swap out the twins as they do the takes? You know, as the tummy would get fuller, they would swap out a twin and then have the other one eat. And then
And since
one of them went into sugar shock.
Yeah, and since they've been eating fiber cereal, they've just flush it all right out.
Yeah, it goes off like a cannon blast. Yeah. There's the one Michelle thing that she did this episode that I thought was cute was when Jesse busts in with the cake and he yells free cake to the house. Michelle comes flying in from the other room saying, I'm coming. She finally gets in a seat. She goes, I'm here. That's a pretty cute kid thing.
Yeah, we're reaching at straws at this point, I feel like.
Yeah. The crowd though, like, went extra hard. They just fucking loved this child destroying his cake.
It was the funniest thing. Yeah, your wedding is ruined.
Make her to flower girl. I bet they do make her to flower girl.
Oh, for sure.
I wonder what kind of shit she just takes the rings and throws them into the ocean. Crowd goes wild.
Yeah.
So after cake debacle, back upstairs, DJ is weighing herself in to check her weight loss progress. But Uncle Jesse stops by to say, you don't need to watch what you eat. You just need to work out. You ought to go with the family to the gym this weekend.
Yes, and setting up the second half of this episode.
Yeah, yeah. I guess like the comedy here is Uncle Jesse hearing, you know, he's a professional musician. He hears Stephanie struggling with her recorder. And he tries, and he can't hit the note either. Because here's the thing. Did they make you buy these recorders in, like, third, fourth, fifth grade and, like, try to learn the instrument? Because every child in my elementary school was issued one of these.
We had to share, and I seem to remember them being stored, like, the mouthpieces being stored in a blue kind of liquid. Like,
what the fuck school district can't afford a recorder for every child? These things are like $4.99 today.
That's a lot of money, man. That adds up per head. No, we had to share. We shared recorders, but we did have to learn them.
Yeah, these are the worst fucking instrument to play because, like, there's four notes this thing can play sweetly. Anything over that fourth note is just impossible to get correct if you are, like, a fourth grader, I think. So I thought this is authentically, yeah, you struggle with those high notes, man.
Yeah, this is a... I think everyone in the nation can relate to this.
Yeah. So next we're down in the kitchen, and Kimmy stops by to show off her brand new swimsuit. But Stephanie gets upset when she knows the DJ is skipping entire meals.
Yeah, great fit with Kimmy here, by the way. Big, colorful blocks on sort of like a power suit with matching scrunchie.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the matching scrunchie really sets it off. Nice hair. She looks like kind of like a scrambled Rubik's Cube.
She does look like a scrambled Rubik's Cube.
Very primary lime greens, orange, bright canary yellow, bold stripes, vertical horizontal patterns. It's a lot. It's a lot. And she's really rocking it. We also see the family dog Cosmo, which I didn't even remember they had.
Yep. Pretty generic dog. It's a golden retriever, just like the average family's average dog, Comet.
Yeah, you don't want any kind of like specific mutt that, you know, if he dies in the middle of production, you have to make a big deal with it. You just want
a good
cookie cutter dog.
They had two babies for the same reason.
Right. You have a hot swap spare. this is Cosmo. I forgot to have. I wonder if they write Cosmo out of the show, because I aggressively don't remember the Tanners having a dog. And, like, usually dogs and pets in sitcoms either are, like, the center of attention, like Youth Lassie or whatnot, or they just don't factor in at all. So, I don't know.
Frasier had a dog. Frasier had a dog that was not the center of attention.
He's a big centerpiece. Yeah. He's like, yeah, lots of gags written for him and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So DJ apparently has been giving her lunch, which is just ham sandwich. Danny Tanner just gives everyone ham sandwiches at school. And this is a Saturday and Kimmy doesn't want to eat it. So she alarms Stephanie. And she says, hey, I promise I'll eat. And she takes a little bite and it satisfies Stephanie, but then she feeds it to the dog. And Stephanie somehow decides to creep back down and witness it. And she doesn't like it.
Yeah, Stephanie's been watching this whole thing like a sniper. Ready to pounce.
Sister. Yeah. This is big middle sister energy. As someone who had a middle sister, this is like prime middle sister energy.
Oh, okay.
And good on her, you know? She saves her sister from an anorexic bulimic episode, apparently. It's funny how she's, like, talking to the dog. She's like, you're lucky you're a dog and you don't have to wear a bathing suit. It's like...
It would be hilarious,
it's the funniest, it's the funniest you're lucky you're a dog I've ever heard, I think.
Yeah, there's lots of reasons to envy pets, especially. But... their lack of swimsuit wearing is not one that I had considered. But yeah, ducks don't have to worry about clothes necessarily.
They just run around. They don't got body images. They run around fucking naked.
As they are.
They don't care how fat they are.
Yeah, that's true.
but Stephanie sees this and is outraged. She comes flying down the stairs and confronts DJ about it. And DJ swears her. She's like, look, I'm just doing this until the party. The party's over. I will... stop all this stuff, and she forces her into a pinky promise. It really binds her.
Right. It's like a something from Harry Potter. A powerful spell has been cast upon middle child, whose name I forgot already.
Unbreakable. They take the unbreakable vow.
Yeah.
Are you ready to indulge in the rarest of rares? It's an outside the Tanner, outside Danny's work, outside DJ school location.
Yeah.
We're going to the family gym, which is probably some abandoned Foot Locker in some LA, in some mall in LA that they've hastily put a couple of racks and some workout equipment. And they went to Venice Beach and they got their tannest, oiliest, muscliest dudes and said, "You want to make $50 for half a day's work?" And they said, "Hell yeah."
Yeah. There's some people in really good shape in the background here.
Yeah. I just like, this is like, this doesn't seem like the type of place would have a kid's gymnasium. I'm just saying,
no.
Just out there.
It's like Gold's Gym. And then also there's tumbling for tots in the back.
Right. You got like, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Lou Ferrigno, they're in there, you know, building their body, and then yeah, they got the 3-year-old tumbling edition division.
Yeah.
And Joey goes in here and he makes fun of a bodybuilder somehow. Doesn't get his ass beat, so that's cool. DJ asks what the best way to burn calories from her dad. He's like, "Hey, I just ride a bike, you know, but make sure you start on level one because you don't want to overdo it." And as soon as the family takes off, DJ just cranks it to max level and starts trying to kill herself.
Right. Which, fine. Like, over-exercising is a thing, too. But, like, how much damage can you really do to yourself on an exercise bike? Go nuts. Go as hard as you want on the exercise bike.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess you haven't eaten in 2 days. You might collapse like she does. But, you know.
No, fair
you're
point.
Gonna, you're going to have a heart attack. I don't think you're going to drop dead of a heart attack at 15. So the rest of the family goes to the kiddie gym and Michelle warms up and Joey engages in my favorite activity to do with a child, which is announce the things they're doing as if they're competing at an Olympic event.
Okay.
If you've never done this, people listening at home, this is such a little kid crowd pleaser. From the time that they can understand language to like they're 7-8 years old, they're at the pool diving off a board. Fucking start just judging him. Just start giving arbitrary 7.9s for splash. You know, just like every day. Oh, they approach the board. Oh, their toes are gripping the lip. Oh, slight bounce as they survey the surface tension of the water. And they take their. They just fucking love that shit. They'll do it for. It's a lot of fun.
Okay. So. Yeah, they seem to be having some fun with it in the episode. It was a thing that happened in the show.
The slow motion I especially appreciated. When
right.
Uncle Joey does the with the on the trampoline, pretty good, pretty good. Danny digs deep and does two reps. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, two reps of a bar and like maybe 20 pounds of weight on it. What is that? 45 pounds maybe he's putting up there.
Yeah, it's a comically small amount.
Because he's got, you know, noodle arms. He's got like olive oil arms.
He does. He would have made a fantastic olive oil. You're right.
Olive oil's a long lost brother. Meanwhile, in the background, DJ is finishing up her workout on the bike and she gets off and heads right to the scales and is disappointed in her lack of progress. It turns out pedaling hella hard for 30 minutes just doesn't lose that much weight.
The only difference in weight is going to be literally what you just sweat out and need to drink back in.
Right, right. And she's not even that sweaty. I mean, if I've been riding a bike for 30 minutes, I'd look like I jumped into a swimming pool. She's just got like a tasteful V. That's like a couple teaspoons of water at best. It's just not how weight works, man.
Yeah, sweat harder.
So now she goes to a stair machine and she's in obvious distress. This is not fun for her. Then the family goes to the aerobics room where we engage in some middle-aged men.
Oh, right.
Perversions. they're in the back. They get in the back and they kind of do this half-ass routine and they're just kind of looking at the women and the very attractive female aerobics instructor jogs back and is like, "Hey guys, not burning any calories, looking at the women, why don't you come to the front of the class where I keep my eye on you?" And it devolves into Danny Tanner doing vaudeville.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like when the dudes are like doing they're doing their all out tap dance, and I always get to that part where they're like, looks like they're running in place. He's just he's doing a little soft shoe there. Look at him go. Look at him go. The Gene Kelly couldn't do it better. And so then after this, like the guys just collapse, and the lady announces that this was just a warm up, and all the guys dip out except for Joey because he's so bound up he can't even move. These guys are like in their early 30s, by the way. It's a little too soon for your guys' shit to be falling apart, I think.
Right. You think
maybe
they'd
not. DJ's 15. DJ's 15. I guess. Yeah. Maybe he's 40. Maybe he's pushing 40. I don't know.
As a guy in his mid to late 30s who feels like his body is falling apart, this feels apropos.
I feel like I first started noticing my body falling apart about mid 40s. That's when it's like really like, yeah, I was like, oh shit, I've got long persisting injuries and aches now that might never go away. This might be my new baseline good.
I'm lucky then. I got that a little bit early.
Let's see what else. So Steph comes in, check on her sister, asks her to join them and all the fun they're having aerobics, and DJ just fucking collapses, goes to her knees. She says she's dizzy. They give her some water and she says she just overdid it. And Stephanie is like, actually she hasn't been in. And, Candace Cameron does one of those, big sister things where she fires the eye lasers at, and it's like, no, I just overdid it. Mm-hmm. And reminds her of her pinky promise. So back home, everybody's worrying about DJ and everybody's kind of, you know, trying to figure out what's wrong, until Stephanie can't take it no more. She spills the beans about DJ's crash dieting and everybody gets in an uproar, takes pokes at DJ until she screams, "It's my body, I can do what I want," and runs upstairs.
Right.
We are 2 minutes away from solving this child's hunger. This is child's body dysmorphia. Like, it's going to all be solved in 2 minutes. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. We got to this part, and I saw how much time was left. I was like, is this a two-parter? Because there's, like, they have to do the thing where she promises she won't, and then she actually does, but no, they're just going to solve the whole problem.
That has been a consistent theme in pretty much all of these, with the shoehorned in Call Alcoholics Anonymous, with the all of a sudden there's a motorcycle accident and that's enough to bring Sean to the good guy side again. Just like cramming it in at the very end, the resolution.
Yeah, like they do a pretty good job of like starting to outline the problem, and then they just completely fail in resolve. Although I gotta say, now that I've seen four of these, I think Boy Meets World might have been the best one. I do believe if your teacher, who's your adoptive father, has a vicious motorcycle accident, it might pull you out of the cult if your cult leader shows up at a hospital and is really creepy with everybody. That might do it.
You were right. If you really want to get someone out of a cult, you have to be willing to put down your bike.
Right. Like, you got to nip it in the bud. You got to be on that. You got to be like, it's got to be in the first week, and you got to risk grave bodily harm on the highway. I love the boys. They're just like taking turns going in on her. They're like naming, you know, you just could lead to anorexia, bulimia. I mean, she's already at anorexiaville. There's going to bulimia, you're head down a dangerous road. And she's like, I don't care, I have to wear a bathing suit. And Stephanie worries that she's mad, but Jesse's like, hey, you did the right thing. Also, what do you think of Jesse's fit here?
Oh dude, it looks so good. It's like a
this
cowboy.
Yeah, this is like a Michael Knight special.
I could totally see Michael Knight rocking this. Yeah, sort of
powder blue,
mm-hmm.
Pearl buttons. Got the, you know, country western yoke, but it's made out of suede apparently. Patent leather belt, black jeans, feathered hair. Must be John Stamos.
Yeah, earlier in this scene, when Deej didn't want to eat dinner, she was like, I've already brushed my teeth. And then she defends herself by being like, doesn't anyone in this family care about dental hygiene? And then Danny Tanner goes, I'll have you know I care very deeply about my family's teeth and gums. That was, I think, the joke for me. That was the one where I was like, hey, that was a joke. I did it.
That's something Danny would say. You know what's really funny about... I found this out much later in life, but, like, Bob Saget was a renowned blue comedian.
Yes, yeah.
Like, filthy material.
Yeah.
And I wonder if in 2024, trying to think of who is, like, a really obscene comedian right now.
Like, Anthony Jeselnik.
Is that one of them? Or, like, I don't know, someone that hosts those ridiculous roast shows. Like, could they be the super wholesome dad on a family comedy on network television 2024?
It does seem like something would come out and there would be a scandal now. Like,
if yeah.
You couldn't just brush it under the table like they did back then. I don't know. How good was Bob Saget's comedy career if no one knew he was super blue?
That's the thing, is like, I've never seen a larger gap between someone, or except for maybe when George Carlin did Thomas the Tank Engine. I've never seen such a huge gap between a person's like professional career and like their public facing image after. Because like, he went on from Full High. He didn't go back into Blue Circuit. He did like America's Funniest Home Videos.
That's true.
For,
yeah.
What, 2 decades? Like, he just played this, like, relentlessly nice, unoffensive dude. God. And he was, like, Andrew Dice Clay in the clubs. It was crazy.
He must have made a ton of money off of network television.
Oh, my God. The fucking syndication of all, like, of that and AAVF. Wait. Was it Bob Saget or was it Joey that did America's Funniest Videos? I thought it was Bob Saget, right? At least
at
first.
I'm pretty sure it was Bob Saget. Yeah,
it was
Bob Saget.
Maybe it was Dave Coulier. Yeah, okay. We'll be back to talk more about why is Mr. Feeny a car after this quick break.
Since the dawn of time, we've been putting clothes on our back that identify us with our people, our group, our tribe.
And while Bald Move might be one of the smallest, weirdest tribes out there, transcending all concepts of border, class, culture, and creed, we still have respect for the old ways.
At support.baldmove.com, you can get t-shirts, hats, mugs, and more. We have something for every one of our podcasts, or just wear the 4 pips of the Bald Move logo with pride.
Bald Move merch beats running around naked, and they make a great gift for the Bald Move fan in your life. Join our tribe! Head over to support.baldmove.com and click on merch to start shopping.
We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club.
But some people aren't the joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for a podcast that really spoke to them, or gave them that bit of support in a tough time.
For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love. Commission podcasts are an awesome feature here at Bald Move that allows you, the individual listener, to decide what we talk about for a single podcast.
The community loves it because it often leads to fun, fan-favorite films and TV shows that we've overlooked getting the coverage they deserve.
And we love it because we're constantly exposed to great stuff that's not even on our radar.
The way it works is simple. You go to support.baldmove.com and you click on commissions. Then you pay the flat rate for the commission and tell us what 2-ish hours of content you'd like us to make podcasts on.
Then we'll contact you for details, advanced feedback, and any dedications you'd like to make.
Then we watch the thing, discuss the thing, turn it into a podcast, and pump it right into your ears.
We get consistently great feedback on how much our commissioners love their podcast, and they make great gifts for the dedicated Bald Move fan in your life.
And who knows, that dedicated fan could even be you. Treat yourself. Check out support.baldmove.com for more info.
And now we're back with more. Why is Mr. Feeny a car? So yeah, are you ready? Are you ready, listeners at home, to solve this teenager's problems in 2 minutes flat? All right, let's go. Danny goes upstairs to talk to DJ, and he solves all of her teenage body image issues in 2 minutes with simple platitudes. Like, everyone's got different size and shape. Do you like your friends because they're supermodels? Well, why don't you try seeing yourself with your friend's eyes? Thanks, Dad.
And
I love eating now.
Yeah.
And I'm not embarrassed of my body at all. Yeah.
Problem solved.
And the thing is like, this is a weird, very special episode because, like, usually very special episodes have, like, much more of the audience, like, doing, like, ooh, kind of reaction. Although maybe not. Maybe that was a figment of my imagination, because now I'm looking back and, like, Family Matters was all joke, yuck, yuck about stuff. And they didn't really have, you know, like, there wasn't, like, this audience reaction of people, like, hissing and booing and being gasped and offended. I don't know. It's like they get quiet. They're respectful during this scene by Danny's parenting, but that's about it.
Yeah, I was expecting some more ahs, like, oh, at the end.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, not really. It is, yeah, it's like laugh or shut up mode. It's kind of the two modes that the audience has.
The other thing is, like, I just wonder... Because, like, you know, Candid Cameron, when she says, like, have you ever seen a model with my round face and Charlie Brown cheeks?
I felt so bad for the actor who has to say this.
She was kind of like, yeah, like, I think she's, like, if you look at her, she's pretty thin, but she's still got that kind of, and I bet this is shit that, like, agents and casting people and directors have probably said her whole fucking life, because, like, well, you're Kirk Cameron's sister, so I guess you're going to be an actor. And Kirk Cameron, of course, is, like, you know, super hot, just like just famous for being a teenage hot guy. And then she's like, you're giving her this line. It's like, well, you're going to be a teenager. You got body issues because obviously, and you got to get this whole spiel about how you have a fat face. This is kind of brutal to give to a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah, no, very rough. Made me feel bad for the actor for sure.
And then Danny fucking Chad says, you know, I was too tall as a child. I really feel like it's just the stigma of being a tall man in this society. I know exactly what you mean, my cabbage-faced daughter. Cabbage patch doll-faced daughter. Like, the nerve of this guy. I wanted to beat Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Not the Hulk, but the normal guy, because he was just average. Like, God damn, it's such fucking Danny Tanner.
Yeah, I was too tall and skinny.
So yeah, and it's like the resolution of this too is like, you know, he's like, you got a good heart, and everyone who knows the real DJ thinks she's terrific, and she's like, thanks, I love you, Dad, I love you too. That's why I want you to take care of yourself. She's like, all right, I'm gonna go. She says, I'm gonna go to the party. I'm gonna have fun with my friends. He's like, all right. Are there anything else we talk about? Yeah, when's dinner? It's like I've. Certain that like there's going to be a coda to this where it's like, you know, she like gives in easy, but then she like doubles down, or maybe she starts eating and throwing up. I feel like there was another one of these shows where one of the teenage girls had bulimia or whatnot. But yeah, no, she's just done. Next episode, I don't know, Comet eats a pair of underwear and has to go to the vet. never mention DJ's eating disorder ever again.
So the dog does have an eating disorder.
Yeah, he's an underwear eating disorder.
Eating socks and underwear.
Yeah, the dreaded UED. It takes so many retrievers down in the prime.
It's the number two cause of death in golden retrievers.
Behind bloating. Bloat and general hip dysplasia.
Bloat.
Okay, anything else to say about this terrible episode of this mediocre show?
No, it was a rough one.
Okay, let's give it a rating. A to F. How well did it introduce the subject of eating disorder teenagers?
I have to say F because there's no, like, one, she doesn't have an eating disorder. She comes near to having an eating disorder.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know, it's just, it was so soft-pedaled, and the resolution came so easily.
It's the caffeine pills of eating disorders that she has. She essentially did a 3-day fast and did a little too much at the YMCA.
Right.
And was cured by a Bob Saget hug. So yeah. And then like the resolution, that's got to be like an F minus, right?
Also an F. Yeah. Maybe I'm being too hard on this episode. Maybe the resolution's a D because it's a good conversation about, I didn't hate the like, well, you don't like your friends because they're supermodels, right? You like your friends because they're nice people. So your friends are going to still like you because you're a nice person, not because you're a supermodel. That's okay. I give it points for that.
Paula words, though, because Kimmy Gibbler is an international supermodel, and she is, yeah.
Well, it's hard to compare yourself to Kimmy Gibbler all the time.
I don't know. I feel like they could have given some more time to the resolution, but, you know, alas, they gave a full 60 seconds to a toddler rampaging through cake and wasting a whole box of cereal, and... yeah, that's like I said, she's did two acts of domestic terrorism in a single 22-minute episode. The one act per 11 minutes is way too much. Didn't have time for a better resolution to the eating disorder. Anything else, or should we move on to feedback?
Let's move on to feedback.
But first, Jay, tell everybody a little bit about what you do and where they can find you at.
Hi, I'm Jay McCain. Come check me out on Twitch. It's blue_J_streams. I stream there nightly. It's a fun hang. We watch TV shows. We play video games. It's a good time. Check me out there. BlueJStreams.
There you go. FeeniaBaldMove.com for feedback. First up, Spuds McKenzie, which, by the way, speaking of blasts from the past, from yesteryear, do you have memory of Spuds McKenzie?
This is not a parody dog from The Simpsons. This was the actual thing
The Simpsons were parodying with Duff Beer. This was a ad campaign where a photogenic, I believe, pit bull. Like he was like, it was very similar to the Most Interesting Man in the World campaign. That like, but the joke was that this dog was just the ultimate party dog. Like he would always like, there'd be a boring, shitty situation. Spuds McKenzie would show up in an Aloha shirt and like a cooler full of Bud Light, and the Swedish bikini team would come in, and it was a fucking party. Spuds McKenzie knew how to party. And he wrote into this podcast.
Heck yeah. That's because he knows a good party when he sees it.
Party Animal Spuds McKinney says, not much to add to your podcast. Just wanted to commend excellent seasonal content. Any plans to cover the 900-pound, very special gorilla of my millennial childhood, Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue? It was simulcast on all major networks. I watched it live as it introduced me to the very concept of public service broadcast. Thanks for the content either way. Boy Meets World is a childhood favorite of mine. TGIF forever. And I look forward to the rest of the season. So I didn't know this. I looked this up. Wikipedia informed me. The Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue is a 1990 American animated television film starring many characters from several animated television series at the time of its release. Financed by McDonald's and Ronald McDonald's Children's Charities, it was originally simulcast for a limited time on April 21st, 1990. Holy shit. We're coming up on the 34-year anniversary. On all four major American television networks. And most independent stations, as well as various cable networks. McDonald's released a VHS home video version of the special distributed by Buena Vista Home Video, which opened with the introduction by President George H.W. Bush, First Lady Barbara Bush, and their dog, Millie. Every American family and their dogs. Dogs. Yeah. Let's see. The plot chronicles the exploits of Michael, a teenage boy who was using marijuana. Michael, you're smoking. As well as stealing and drinking alcohol, leaving his family worried. That'll do it. When his younger sister, Corey's piggy bank, goes missing one morning, cartoon characters come to life from various items in her room and find it in Michael's room along with a stash of drugs. So they give him an intervention in the form of a fantasy journey to teach him the adverse consequences of drug use. I'm seeing... The Muppet on this poster, I'm seeing the Muppet Babies, I'm seeing Garfield, I'm seeing four of the Smurfs, including Papa Smurf and Hot Smurf. I'm seeing Winnie the Pooh. I'm seeing Huey, Dewey, and Louie from DuckTales. I'm seeing Alvin and the Chipmunks. I'm seeing Daffy Duck Tigger and Alf from the and Slimer, animated Slimer from the real Ghostbusters. Yes. So let me get this straight. This is Buena Vista, which is Walt Disney's distribution center. Ronald McDonald, did they freeze Disney out? This is all Warner Brothers and other how do they get away with not having Mickey Mouse in this thing? He's like the glaring omission. Pretty shitty to the charge top dollar for a charity event, Mickey. Come on.
It's about getting the kids off of marijuana, dang it.
G-R-E-E-D-Y M-O-U-S-E Greedy Mouse. Anyway. No, we're not gonna be giving any love to the animated stuff, Spuds McKenzie. I'm sorry, I know, as a beloved icon, animal spokesperson icon, you probably wanted the animated stuff. We just didn't have it in the budget this year, maybe next time.
Right.
Thanks for listening, though.
That's interesting.
Yeah. The whole Happy Meal tie-in is what I'm really intrigued by. And the thing is, in 1990, I was a little too old for this shit. I was still watching the Disney Afternoon with my brother and sister because they were younger, and I was kind of like pretty into gargoyles. But like the kiddie stuff, I was like, what was I, like 14, I guess? Yeah, I was like 14, 15. I started to outgrow that, and certainly the I had already learned my lesson from Nancy Reagan. I didn't need anybody to tell me to say no to drugs. Nancy and every video game I'd played at the arcade since about 1985 was telling me winners don't use drugs.
The Bushes were kind of putting a hat on a hat, like the Reagans already covered this.
Yeah, for real. Opus is up next. It says, love the podcast. You are hitting all the classics. Uncle Nick chugging a screwdriver in the morning is what I always think about when it comes to family ties in general. Right? It's iconic. I assume this week you'll be talking about Jesse Spano singing I'm So Excited, another classic. You got it. You're reading ahead. Yep. I would like to bring two that come to mind to your attention. Please check out Different Strokes Season 5 Episodes 16 and 17. Definitely heavy shit for a primetime sitcom. He links me to the Wikipedia article for The Bicycle Man.
Yeah.
Ooh, stay tuned. We'll see if surely some comedy jackass podcast wouldn't wade into those deep waters, right? There's nothing funny about the Bicycle Man. Is there Opus? I don't know. It's a tough act. He says, it's by far the creepiest episode of a sitcom I've ever seen, and I try not to watch as the horrible person in an episode is played by the very same actor who plays Mr. Carlson in WKRP in Cincinnati. Interesting. See if that comes to light in a podcast. WKRP in Cincinnati, by the way, has a great episode where they tackled the tragedy of 11 people being crushed to death at a rock concert at a Riverfront Coliseum in the early 80s, which actually happened. That's a local piece of Cincinnati lore. There you go. Don't know if we'll get the KRP in Cincinnati this season, but stay tuned for Different Strokes. Paul from the UK is up next, says, your episode of Mr. Feeny really hit home for me when discussing bins. He's talking about the family ties episode, the trash bins. This very week, I forgot to put out my trash bin, and now I have no idea what I'm going to do with my rubbish for the next 2 weeks. Might have to reach for the vanilla extract. Be careful. Make sure you have your long-suffering sister to host an intervention and give you a phone number. You might not recover.
Yeah. Take the steps to the phone and you'll be cured.
He says, love the podcast. And, if that fails, switch to laudanum. That's what I say. Put down the extract.
Yeah.
Goodbye, vanilla. Hello, laudanum.
That would have never lasted in the alcoholic household.
In the Keaton household. Yeah.
Keaton.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Christopher J says long time first time. Love to hear it. I listen to all things Bald Move, but never knew what a Mr. Feeny was. I love Jay, but I always felt like I'm cheating with Jim. Don't tell him. If you go back and listen to archives, you might find some hot three-way action with Jay, Jesse, and myself. Check that out. I almost got Jay on for an Jim on for an episode this season. Maybe an upcoming one. I might lure him back for Knight Rider. My question to y'all, and this is the one we'll leave you with tonight. Why were special episodes so special back then, and now they seem like they are weekly? Are modern sitcoms just more built to handle intense subjects? Blackish, for instance, is geared that way and is great, but I'm thinking of others like Modern Family, How I Met Your Mother. Even Friends deal with some tough subjects, but it doesn't feel very special. Maybe it's just modern times? I'm trying to think, because my theory was the fairness doctrine, which required many things. One of them was you have to have, if you spend an hour talking about Republican shit, you got to spend an hour talking about Democrat shit. But also part of it was for every, like 10 hours of children's television entertainment, one of them had to consist of entertainment. And for a lot of networks, they were able, that's why you saw in a lot of cartoons like G.I. Joe's, the, you know, knowing is half the battle, why He-Man would give you a little 30-second soliloquy about sharing toys after he beat Skeletor that week. It's to fulfill, you know, just to fulfill those requirements. I thought that's what this was. Like, well, we got 24 episodes making people laugh. Let's do one where we talk about your alcoholic uncle that you're worried about.
I wonder what the ratings were like for the very special episodes. Is it possible that these very special episodes had also had very high ratings? And so when they're making modern episodes, they're like, what if just every episode was very special?
The reign of very special episodes is very brief. It's like started in the mid 70s. I even found out that in this episode that hasn't come out yet, that the certain show in the 70s that rhymes with Different Strokes kind of started the trend. And it did, like, I remember there's being big publicity and like Gather Your Whole Family. And I wonder if it was like just naked capitalism, like people did tune in because it was this big event that, oh, you want, what shocking thing are they going to talk to? And then after about 10 years, people are like, oh, we're talking about caffeine pills now. And then it stopped working.
There was only so many very special subjects. Heck, we're talking about tonight. Tetanus is one of them. Tinnitus. That'd be a different, very special episode.
Yeah, I could use some help with that. I got a little
this annoying buzzing sound.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it drives me to distraction. I don't really know, because then that's the other thing. Is like, I'm trying to think the last time I've seen what I would call a very special episode. And nowadays, it's the very special episodes are like, we're going to have a trans person move next door. You know, like, it's not so much a very special episode is that they're like doing that kind of stuff just in the course of telling stories. Like I guess they're all kind of very special, a lot more. But like, when I think of very special episode, I think of like a societal ill. And it's got to be like it's got to happen on network television. That's the other thing. Like,
yeah,
this isn't the domain. Like, HBO can't do a very special episode. They're always doing shocking, weird shit. It's got to be something. It's got to be Bob Saget. Or, you know, a wholesome TV star of his caliber that's doing it. But I don't know. You guys know? Does anyone actually know? I'm just making shit up. I'm just speculating here. Does anyone actually know why the very special episodes had such a grip on us in the 80s, late 70s, 80s, and early 90s? If you know, Feeny@baldmove.com.
Right in.
Once again, check out my buddy at twitch.tv/blue_j_streams. And maybe I'll see you there one night. Next week, we got a real treat. It's a very special episode of Different Strokes entitled About the Bicycle Man.
Yeah.
And if you know, you know, because buckle the fuck up. This ain't going to be your caffeine pill episode. No. We'll see you back for another very special episode.
Until next time, Kit, hit the very special ejector seats.
I haven't consumed fuel for 3 days, Michael. I am weak.